The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
We are starting two lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Toveya makes the Edim swear with one of the Shemot or the Kinuim, Nahum, Hanun, Erechapayim, Rav Chesed, if he makes them swear in any of those names, so we said in the Mishnah, Hare Elu Hayavim, that they are Hayav, that's considered swearing in the name of God. What do you mean? We have a contradiction. This is talking about in the Inyan of Sota. We know that the Sota, the Kohen, makes her drink the waters, but he puts a swear on her first that she did not do the act. So it says, Yiten Hashem Otach Le'alam Ve'Lishbu'a. It says, God should put you to an Allah. Allah is like a swear with a curse, and Shibu'a is a Shibu'a. It says, Yiten Hashem. Matamud Omar. What do we need this pasuk to come and teach us? It says in the same parashat Sota, Ve'Shbi'a HaKohen Taisha B'Shbu'a Ta'ala. So we have a second pasuk, we have an extra pasuk of it that says the Kohen is going to be mashpiah. So it says the fish and Ne'emar, because b'shivu'at ha'edut it says b'shame'a kol Allah. The Ne'emar kan it says by sota the word Allah, which is extra. B'ne'emar le'alan Allah. Then it says the word Allah b'shivu'at ha'edut. Ma kan lishbu'a af le'alan lishbu'a. So first of all, just like the Allah that's written by Sota is talking about a Shivua, even though it's the word Allah, but an Allah means a Shivua. So too the Allah that's written by Shivua Tadut is talking about a Shivua. And Ma Kan Bishem Hashem, and just like by Sota, it's Bishem Hashem, because it's Vishbi Hashem Otah, that's what Hashem's name. Af the Allah, and so too by the Shivua of Shivua Tadut, Bashem. Which means you're not going to be Hayav Korban unless you say Shem. And which Shem is said by Sota? Yudke Vavke. Vishbi Hashem. So anyway, make a Gezerah Shev up an extra word Allah. And what's an Allah? Allah is a Shivua. And it says Allah by Sota. It says Allah by Shvata Aydut. Now we know by Sota, the Kohen is making him swear, Bishem Hashem. Bishem Yudke Vavke. Oh, so then over here, also it's got to be Bishem Yudke Vavke. How come the Mishnah said even all the Kinuim, even all the other names? But Rabbi Yehla Kasha. Ha, Rabbi Hanina Ben Idi. Arbanan, which is our Mishnah is following Rabbi Hanina Bar Idi, and the other Shita is which means this Braita that we just said that you have to use Shem Hashem is Rabbi Hanina Bar Idi, and our Mishnah that said all the Kinuim is going like Rabbanan. Gemara explains Rabbi Hanina Bar Idi Omer Oid VaAmra Torah Shavah. Since we found that the Torah says in the case where you have to swear. Where's that case? You want the pikadon, where a person is watching a pikadon for somebody, so he has to make a shivua. Now what? Let's say something happened to him. So he has to make a shivua that he didn't damage. He didn't cause any damages to it. He has to return the item, but he can't return the item because the item died, let's say, or the item got robbed, or whatever it is. So he has to make a shivua that he was not negligent. So one patura says, the pasuk says, shivua tashem tiyeh ben shenehem, that he has to make a shivua. Ve'al tishava. And we have also a pasuk in the Torah that says, don't make a shivua. It says, ve'lo tishavi'u bishmi lashaket. One pasuk we have in the Torah that says, make a shivua. That's why shivua to pikadon. And one pasuk we have by stop making a shivua. Chicken says, ve'lo tishavi'u. Now, we have one pasuk that says, kalil. We have one pasuk that it's mitzvah to put a kilala on a person. That's the case of Sota, where the Kohen puts a kilala on the lady if she's going to drink the waters. Ve'al tekalel. We have a pasuk that says you shouldn't curse. Elohim lo tekalel. You can't curse, let's say, a judge. Or lo tekalel chaylesh. You cannot curse a regular person. Now, ma yishava b'shem, just like over there, that the shivua that the Torah is talking about is b'shem, because it says shivua t'shem t'yeh ben chenem. Af lo tishava sotu, when it says lo tishavu b'shmi l'sheker, is b'shem. It's talking about Beshem Hamiyuhad. Ma kalil Beshem, just like by Sota, the Kilala is within the name of Hashem. Af lo tekalil, when you're not to curse your friend, that's also don't curse him in the name of Hashem. Beshem. So if you see according to Rabbi Hanina, Hanina Bar Idi, he holds Dafka Beshem. Shivua is Dafka Beshem Yudke Vavke, Kilala is Dafka Beshem Yudke Vavke, and that is the Braita that said that the only Beshem Yudke Vavke. However, Rabbanan, the rabbis, they hold that the curse and the Shema can be done even in one of the Kinuim. The Rabbanan, if they learn the Gezerah Shema from Sota, Allah, Allah, so that already Nivrei Hashem Meyuhad, they should need Shema Meyuhad. Because just like by Sota was B'Shem Hashem, Sota was Shuatanu Shem B'Shem Hashem. Now, I lo gemidi Gezerah Shema, but if they don't learn Gezerah Shema, Ela Deshvuahi Minalu. How do you know that the word Allah by Shuatanu is a Shavua Bechlal? The only way we know Allah is a Shavua is from Sota. Once you're learning from Sota, so then already it's got to be B'Shem Hashem, because Sota is only B'Yud Kevavke. Oh, so then the Fachkarim don't learn that, because they learn you can make the Shavua in any of the Kinuim. So how do they know the word Allah is Shavua Bechlal? So the Quran says, Nafka Lehu Meditanya. They learn from here. It says, Allah. Ain Allah Ela Lashon Shavua. They know it. Allah is a Shavua, Shvechenu Omer, because it says in Sota, V'Yishbiya Koyet Ha'isha B'Shvuat Ha'Allah. Not from a Gezerah Shavah. They learn from a B'Fenus Pasuk B'Tzrim by Sota. It says, and the Kohen will make the lady swim B'Shvuat Ha'Allah. So you see, Allah is connected to a Shavua. So the Gemara says, wait, Hatam Shavuat Ha'Allah Ketiv, which means by Sota, it says Shavuat Ha'Allah, which means that's a Shavua with a Kilala. Masha'ekim by Shavuot Tehudu just says the word Allah. So how could you learn from Shavuot to Allah by Sota, which means a Shavuot would occur, to mean that Allah alone means a Shavuot? Haki kamal. Allah in Allah ila b'Shavuot. V'chein hu omer v'shvi'a kore ta'isha b'Shavuot ha'Allah. Which means that the Pasuk says that, well, because it says Shavuot Allah. But we have a question. Shavuot Allah by Sota is dafka with a Kilala. But it says by Shavuot Tehudu Allah alone. So the Gemara says, "Minayin la'asot shivua she'en ima Allah kishivua sheish ima Allah." How do you know that a shivua without an Allah is like a shivua with an Allah? Which means by Shavuot Tehudu it just says the word Allah. By Sota it says Shavuot Allah. She says, "Oh, by Sota Shavuot Allah is a shivua with a curse." But there's also an Allah alone without a curse. But how do you know that Allah alone means a Shavua? Maybe it only means a curse. He says, no, Tamud Omar, because it says, by Shavua Tadu Vishame'a Kol Allah. That's the key. The word Kol is extra. The Pasuk just could have said, Vishame'a Allah. So the Gemara says, Vishame'a Allah, Vishame'a Kol. Which means, when it says Allah, that's a Shavua that has a curse to it, which means, sometimes when they curse, when they tell the guy, something's going to happen to you if you don't come and testify for me, the Shema'a call, and sometimes just a call. It's a call, meaning it's a Shavua alone without a curse attached to it. So from the extra word call that's written by Shavuot Aidut, we learn a Shavua alone without a Kilala. So therefore, again, according to, we have two Shitot comes out of here. We have a Machlokan in the Mishnah, the Braita. When the person is being mashbiya shvata aydin, does it have to be b'shem Hashem? According to Rav Hanina ben Idi, it's got to be b'shem Hashem. Yudke vatke, chosilons gezra sheva ala ala from sota. According to the Bana, no. You can make the guy make a shivua by shvata aydut, even the chol kinuim, even any of the shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, but it says the word Allah. How do you know the word Allah means shivua? Not from a gezra sheva, from a pasuk. It says in sota, v'shbiya et aisha, the rashon is, let's get the rashon, the pasuk, it says in the pasuk, and so you see that the word Allah is connected to a shivua. Yeah, but that's only with a curse. Maybe over here it's only with a curse. It says no. The way it says call Allah. Sometimes when it's with an Allah, and sometimes even when it's with a call alone, that the guy can be mashpia. And therefore, all we're learning over here is that the word call Allah is referring to shivua, and you have no Gezerah Shavah to tell me it's got to be like the Sota one. Sota's got to be with Yud Kevavke. Mashiach Yud Shavah doesn't be with any of the Kinuim. Kabbalah Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Abu Minayin Allah Shivua. How do we know? Another proof. How do we know the word Allah means a Shivua? Shne Emar Vayave Oto BeAllah. This is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, made a brit with Sidkiyah Melech Yehuda, and he made him swear. He made him swear that what? That he's not going to rebel against the Nebuchadnezzar Uchtiv. And it says by Sidkiyah that what? He broke the covenant. Beluhim. It says Nebuchadnezzar was Mashbiyah, but the first pasuk says Mayabe Oto Be'Allah. So you see the word Allah is a Shivua, because when he broke it, it says he broke the Shivua. So we see from there that the word Allah also refers to a Shivua. Okay, now we get to different words. Arur. Anytime you see the word Arur, Bo Nidui can be referring to a Nidui, excommunication. Bo Kerala can be a curse. Bo Shivua can be a Shivua. Bo Nidui Nichtiz. How do you know it's a nidui? The word arud says orru meroz, which is Barak ben Abinoam, when he went to fight the war with Deborah. So there was a city called Meroz, or a guy called Meroz, and he didn't want to come help fight in the war effort. So he didn't curse him, but he said orru meroz. Amar Malach Hashem orru arod yosheveha. Amar ola ba'arba me'ash shepure shamte Barak ben Meroz. He took 400 shofars and he put Meroz in Nidui. So you see the word Orru or Arur is referring to a Nidui. Put him in Nidui for not coming to help him fight the war. So that's the first proof. Bo Kelala. How do you know the word Orru or Arur is a Kelala? Dikhtib. The Eli Ya'amdu ala Kelala. And these will stand on the mountain to receive the curse. And what does it say about them? Arur Aish Asheri Aseh Pesil. You see, Arur is a curse. Number three. Bo Shivua. Dikhtib by Yashba Yoshua Ba'atei Demur Arur Aish Asher. The first thing that's going to build up the city of Yericho is going to be not only a curse, but Arur Oviz, he made a Shivua. Now, that's how we know it's a Shivua. Okay? So he swore that he made a Shivua, that it's Asur, that we put like a Shivua on the people, that it's Asur to build up the city of Yericho. So the Gemara says, wait, what does the Pasuk say by Yoshua? By Yashba, Yoshua Beitei, the more Arur Aish Asher. Yakum ubana etayid azot. So the Gemara says, "Bedilma talti avadlehu." Maybe two things. Ashbeinu. Maybe he's made them swear that they're going to build up the city of Yericho. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Vayashba Yoshua." It says, "Vayashba." He made a swear. Vilaitinu. And maybe the arur over there, he cursed them also. Who told you that the arur is explaining the word "Vayashba"? Maybe Yoshua did two things over there. By Yashba, he made them swear. And it says, Arur, he cursed them. How do you know from here that Arur is a Shivua? Maybe by Yashba is the Shivua, and Arur is a curse. So he made them swear that they're not going to build Yericho. And he put a curse on them also. How do you know that Arur is a Shivua? Well, says, you're right. Elam Ha'ach, we know it from a different place. We know it from the story of the war of Shaul and Yonatan, his son, against the Philistine. It says, "V'ish Yisrael nigash b'yomahu b'yoel Shaul," and Shaul made them swear, "Etam lemor arur asher yochal." He put a shivua on them. That what? You cannot eat on this day until we finish the war. Uchtiv Yonatan lo shama, and Yonatan did not listen b'hashbia abiv etam. He did not listen to the swear of his father, and he ate something. So you see what? Even though the pasuk says arur, it is a shivua. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe he also showed the two things to them. Ashbirinu velaitinu. He made them swear, and then he cursed them. Vayoel, yoel is a shivua, and then it says arur. So who told you arur is a shivua? Maybe arur is a kilala, and he did two things on them. Curses the guy that eats, and he put a shivua on them, and they cannot eat. The Gemara says, miketi ve'arur. It doesn't say a vav. It says bayoel. He made them swear and said arur. If arur was a separate item, it would have said ve arur. So therefore, you see what that bayoel, that arur must be a shivua. The Gemara says, wait, what's already you tell me that there's the vav gave it away? The fact that there's no vav, I can go back to the pasuk of Yeshua. When it says he made them swear and he said arur, he didn't say ve arur. So your question above was what? Oh, the fact that it says Vayeshba arur, could be he did two things. He made them swear that they're not going to build Yericho, and he cursed them. But what you tell me over there and say ve arur? So therefore, must be arur is going to explain what the word Vayeshba is, and Vayeshba and arur are synonymous. Therefore, we learn from a very proof positive, even from Yeshua, that arur means a shivua. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, amen. Whenever you hear the word amen, bo shivua, it can be like you made a shivua. Bo kabbalat devarim, that's accepting, let's say, the words ben adam lachavero, and bo ha'amanat devarim, or it's accepting the words that were said legabe shamayim. So amen is a shivua, amen is acceptance between ben adam lachavero, and accepting the words that are said by God himself. So bo shivua dechtiv, ba'amira isha amen amen, by sota. She says, Amen, Amen. It's like she made the Shivua herself, that she's swearing that she is innocent. Now, book, Kabbalah Devarim, Lechim Arur, Ashelu Yekim et Vriyat Torah Zod Nasototam, it says in Devarim, cursed is the man that's not going to fulfill the Torah, to uphold it. V'amar kol ha'am, Amen. So what do you say over there? That we are accepting the items that Moshe Rabbeinu told us. So Amen is in acceptance. Bu ha'amarat Devarim, Lechim V'yom Rizmi Yanavi, Amen, Ken Ya'aseh Hashem. When the prophet made a false prophecy that the Babylonian Empire is going to fall and the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, so when Yirmiyah heard this prophecy, he said, Amen, Ken Ya'aseh Hashem. Meaning, Amen, Ken Ya'aseh, let it be. So Amen also is like a wish that Hashem should fulfill and make the items come true. So those are the three usages of Amen. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lav, Shivua. Hen Shivua, which means when a person says lo, meaning I'm not going to do it, with the word lo, it's like he made a Shivua. Or when a person says ken erase, I will do it, it also is like a Shivua. So no and yes is like a Shivua. You know what else is? Bishkama lav Shivua dichtiv velo yehye od hamayim lemabul. God, when he promised not to bring a mabul anymore, he said, velo, I will not bring another mabul uchtiv ki menoa zot yashin ishbati. And then we see another person who says that God swore. How did God swear? By saying, Velo, I will not bring a mabul. Ela hen shivua minalan. How do you know the word hen is a shivua? How do you know, yes, I will do something? Yes, I know that's a shivua. Kabarasa sevarao. Mide lav shivua, hen la mishivua. We just go the opposite. If lav is a shivua, so it must be the opposite when you accept the yourself to do something with the word, yes, I will do it. That's also a shivua. Amar abav, huda amar lav lav, trisimne. Huda amar hen hen trisimne. It's only to about when you said the word lav twice. When you say it twice, then already it turns into a shivua. Or when you said it in the positive, hen hen, twice. Dichtiv, how do we know about a mabul that says lo twice? Velo yikaret kol basar od memea mabul, velo ye od a mabul, mayim the mabul. So God said twice by the mabul the word lo, that's how we know it is a shivua. Now, once we told you on the negative side, it's got to be 2 times to be a shivua. On the positive side, also, it's got to be 2 times in order to be considered a shivua. Okay, comes the Gemara, continues. A quote from our Mishnah. We had a machlok of Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Meir. Rachamim mekalel bechula hayav devrei Rabbi Meir. Rachamim potrim, which means when it comes to cursing Hashem, chas v'shalom, blasphemy. So according to Rabbi Meir, if you curse God in any of the names of God, right? You curse him in Hanun, Rahum, Sebaot, Shaddai, Kel, Adanut, all that. That's considered mekalel Hashem. And Hakamim said only Yudke Vavke. You have to only Mekalel Veshem Amiyuchat. And Rabbanam Ish Ish Ki Yekalel Eloha.
Saying the word, by the way?
No, no. Yake Hashem Et Hashem. Like we know the Sanhedrin. Let Hashem hit Hashem. That's the cursing Hashem. You have to say Yake Yossi et Yosef. And Rabbanam Ish Ish Ki Yekalel Eloha. Person that curses his God, Venasach, it will carry his sin. What do we need this pasuk for? We have a pasuk that talks about cursing Hashem. Venokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat. Which already it tells us already. Venokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat. So it says Yachol. If we just would have this pasuk of Venokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat, Yachol Yehayav El Hashem Miyuhad. Because this is Venokev Shem Hashem. So I would have told you only chayav when you curse the name Yudke Malke. Minay the rabot et hakinuim. How do I know to include all the other names of Hashem? The word one ish ish ki kalel Elohav. Cursing is God. Mikol makom. The b'mi, that's the b'mi's proof. That what? The fact we have an extra pasuk. This is ish ish ki kalel Elohav. It's talking about cursing God in any of the name. Nachemim omrim al shem yuchad b'mita. He says Yahayav on both, but there's a difference. If you curse Shem Yudke Vavke, then Yahayav Mita. Says Venokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat. The other pasuk Ish Ishki Kalil Olav, you'll get a Nazara. You get a Lo Taaseh, which is you're not going to get Hayuv Mita. So you'll have one pasuk is a Lo Taaseh, and one pasuk is going to be a Mita. So can we argue on Rabbi Meir? Really, we have two pasukim. Two pasukim teach us something. One is Mita, and one is Eilo Ta'aseh. Okay, continue. Rabbi Kalil Abi Emo. Say Mahloke. Guy curses his parents out. So it says, according to Rabbi Meir, with any name. Right? He curses his father and any of the Kenuim's Hayab. Mother, same thing. According to Rachamim, no, Dafka B'Shem Hashem. Man Hachamim. Who's his opinion of the Hachamim? Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef. Hachamim are Rabbi Menachem. Who's that? The Tanya Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef Omer Benokbo Shem Yumat. Now this pasuk is also by the Megadev. It says Benokbo Shem, by cursing God with the name. Now Matamud Omar Shem. Why did it have to say in the pasuk of Mekalel Hashem Benokbo Shem? It could have just said Benokbo, by cursing him, which means this is extra over here. Now, number one, it's extra that it says the word Shem, because it just could have said Binukbo, because we know already it's talking about cursing God with the Shem. And anyway, you don't need the pasuk bichlal by Mekalel Shem Hashem, because we already have two pasukim of talking about cursing Hashem. This is the third pasuk of cursing Hashem, so this pasuk is not necessary. Now we have a rule: once you don't have a usage for where it is, you can use it to somewhere else. So the Torah says, "Limen ala mekalel abi ve'emo." So Torah with the mekalel abi ve'emo, and it says Shem. Sheno chayav ad shekalelim b'shem. So imagine that. So Jesus, if you ask kind of who's this rabbi, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Hanbar Yosef, how do you know mekalel abi ve'emo is davka b'shem? Because it says by mekalel Hashem benogbo et Hashem. And we don't need that pasuk by Mekalel, because we have two pasukim already by Mekalel Tashem, so use that pasuk by Mekalel Bivemo. And it says Bashem. So we learn over there, Hayab, Hachi, Kalel, Bashem. Okay. Comes the Gemara continues. Now, by the way, you have to say Kotel Bimir, he must have another derasha for that pasuk. Bimir says Mekalel Bivemo is on anything. So he has to have a different derasha for that word Shem that's written by Mekalel Abivemo. The Gemara actually in Sanhedrin says that reason. Comes the Gemara, Mekalel Atzmo V'Havero. The guy curses himself or he curses his friend out. According to everybody, this is no machloket in this case. In any of the Shemot or any of the Kinuyim, he's over on a lot ta'aseh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yanai V'Devrei Hakol. This is according to everybody. Which is all the other cases we have a machloket between the Bimir and Hakamim, is it Davka Beshem or is it in the Kinuim of it? But here, everybody agrees it is Devrakol. Let's read Rashi Devrakol. Devrakol. See, it's like 2/3 of the way down. Devrakol. The law tema who il veklayit raul rabot tenau ayin rabot afu mekalel atzmo v'havero. El adat chikamar bimir hachem rabot mekalel abiv shu beskila ki mevarech et Hashem. Aval v'asu v'havero d'vam v'alma hu lo d'vakam. Read like this. Already I told you just a second ago that Rabbi Menachem ben Rabbi Yosef, he learned from the extra pasuk of Mekalel by Shem Hashem, that since I don't need that pasuk from Nokev Shem Yumat, so I learned that pasuk to Kibud Avayim. So I would have thought that not only learned that pasuk to Kibud Avayim, to Mekalel Abi Ve'emo, but learned that pasuk to Mekalel Atzmo. That just like Mekalel Shem, you tell him he's got to be B'Shem, Yudke Vavke, and that's how you're learning also Mekalel Abi Ve'emo Davke Yudke Vavke. So maybe also learn it to Mekalel Atzmo. That's why it says no. You only learn it because to Mekalel, because by cursing Hashem, the punishment is Mitah. And by cursing your parents, it's also Mitah. That's why I learned this Mitah. If it doesn't have any usage over here, learn to another case where you hayav mitah. But when cursing yourself or cursing your friend, it's just a lav. There's no mitah. So therefore, I wouldn't apply this pasuk to the case of cursing yourself. And therefore, everybody holds, even Rabbi Menachem ben Rabbi Yosef, that said, by cursing your parents, it's davka b'shem, he'll agree that by cursing yourself or your friend, it even applies to the other names as well. Don't think to apply the pasuk of Mekalel Hashem to the pasuk of cursing your friend or yourself. No, there's no mitah in that case. If I would not make that in u'inyan, then I shout to that. The Gemara says, Mekalel Atzmo. How do you know cursing yourself is asur? Torah says, you have to protect yourself. You have to watch yourself. And this is Hishamir. Shabbos, I'm warning you. You better not do anything that's detrimental to yourself. And we know that anytime it says the word Hishamir, Kedrabi Abin Amar Bihad Amar. Kol Makom Shlomar Hishamir, anytime it says the word in the Torah, Hishamir or Pin, less, Me'al, don't. Eru Ela Lo Ta'ase. So the word Hishamir is a Lo Ta'ase. What's Torah saying? Don't do anything that's detrimental to your body, i.e., don't curse yourself. So that's the Isur from the Torah to curse yourself. The Havero, how do we know it's a Isur to curse your friend? The Chti, because it says, Lo Tekalel Cheresh. Don't curse a Haresh. Haresh is a deaf person. And it also says in the Pasuk, the Nasi Ba'amecha Lo Ta'or. And don't curse the president of the community. Now, for the fact that it says Nasi Ba'amecha Lo Ta'or, so it added not only Nasi, even though it's Kalein, Haresh. That means even the simple people, even someone that's not a Nasi. Oh, and then the Gemara was Doresh over there, that after the fact we have two Pesukim, it's coming to include not only Haresh and Nasi, it's coming to include even other people as well, they're allowed to curse them. Okay, now we get to the next part of the Mishnah. Let's say the Toveya went to the witnesses. Now again, the regular way the Toveya goes to the witnesses, do you know testimony for me? No. I'm putting a swear on you. Either they say Amen, or either they say we accept, we don't know any testimony. But we saw in the Mishnah, sometimes they curse them out. And they say, listen, if you don't come and testify for me, God's going to smite you and knock you down and all that. So the Mishnah's language was, Yekecha Hashem. God should smite you in lo tavo v'ta'idun if you don't come and testify. So it says, Ken Yekechem Elohim. Or, God, plural. God should smite you both. And they were kufir. Zoi Allah ketuvah v'torah. That's the case. Remember we just learned, it says, Kol Allah. So he said, sometimes you could just put the guy in a shivuah. But sometimes by Shavuot Adun, you put the guy under an Allah. Allah is like a curse. That's the curse. Many times, if you don't testify for me, God's going to punish you. He says, we're kafir. No, we don't have any testimony for you. That's why he considers Shavuot Adun. Alright? So Gemara says, Yativ, Rav Kana Kamed Rav Yehuda. Yativ, Kamar Haman, Etiket Zan. They were reading this Mishnah about it. And reading it, he said, and the witnesses say, Yakecha Elohim. And he was talking to the rabbi. So as if he's telling the rabbi, God should smite you. So he told him, hey, relax. Amale kane. Don't read it straight. Reverse it. Which means, say yakim. Hit them. Which means, we have this many times. When you're learning the Mishnah, and you're talking about the case, so sometimes you're talking to the person you're studying with. The
third person.
If you don't talk third person, it sounds like you're cursing the person you're talking to. Right? Yakecha Elohim. Hey, yakim Elohim. No, don't say yakecha. Don't open your mouth to the Satan to even say such things. Gemara tells another story. So this was a case in the Mishnah. They were learning this Mishnah, so the rabbi told them, Kanim, meaning reverse it. So it's not a kirala. Yativ, ahum, rabbanan, kamed, rav kana. It's another story. The rabbi was sitting in front of rav kana. Yativ, ka'amad, they were calling the pasuk a tehillim. The pasuk says, Gam el yitasecha, God should destroy you, lanetzach, forever. Yachtecha, he should break you. V'yisachacha me'ohel, he should uproot you from your house. V'shedishka me'eres chayim, and your roots from the eternal world. Selah. So he's reading the pasuk in front of him. He says, Amalek kaneh, don't say to me. Say to somebody else. Don't say, destroy him. We'll break him. So basically we have two stories. One story is the rabbi told him, change the Mishnah. Don't read it against me. And another rabbi was reading Tehillim. He said, change the pasuk. So the Gemara says, Tati lamali. What do you need? Two stories, the same point. The Gemara says, Ma'udetema ani mili matnitin. Maybe a Mishnah that's not the text is not set in stone, so therefore you could change the text of a Mishnah not to make it directly against a person. However, but in the Pasuk of Tehillim, maybe you can't change the Pasuk, that's the way the Pasuk was written. That even a Pasuk for a Tzorech, when a person is learning the Pasuk, you have to change the Pasuk itself. So the Hadush is in the second case, that even a Pasuk of Tehillim, when you're learning it, you're talking in front of somebody, you're able to change not only the Mishnah, but even the Pasuk. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, we're looking at the Mishnah. Al Yakecha, right? We said the reverse. If you had no testimony to me, and you'll come and testify, God should not smite you. V'barechecha, God should bless you. V'yitiv lecha, that God should do good for you. Right? And the guy was kofir. What's the logic of Ibn Meir? Because obviously he holds that from the implication. This is the law that says, Mechlal lav atashomeya hen. From the negative, you hear the positive, or from the positive, you hear the negative. In this case, it's the positive hearing the negative. Because what is he telling the witnesses? If you come and testify for me, you'll be blessed. And what is he really telling him, implied? If you don't come, you'll be cursed. Oh, and that's the Allah that's written in the Torah. So the Bibi it holds, you can say the positive, but it implies the negative, and if it's considered Hayab. Mashiach and the rabbi say, no, You didn't tell him the negative side. You don't imply. You got to tell him befirush. And therefore, as long as you didn't tell him, you're going to be cursed if you don't come and testify. So therefore, it's not considered a shivat ala, and therefore, no issue. So now, the Gemara is going to question. So you're telling me that the Bim Yira holds that you make implications, that you can imply the bad from the good. Then the Gemara says, we've seen another place that the Bim Yira doesn't hold to that concept, that from the negative, you hear the positive. Now in this case, it's the positive, you hear the negative. It works both ways. Which means, according to the Bim Yira, the basic point of the Mishnah is, when you say one way, you say the flip side. So somebody, well, you see other places that maybe does not subscribe to that. That you got to be explicit. You don't go with implications. How do you know that? Oh, whatever it is. Give another tell us yet. Oh, I'll tell you how. You know it from the look at Rashi. You got it from Rashi. Look at Rashi. Last Rashi in the top. I'm sorry. Second verse. The time of Masechta Kiddushin. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Tanai Sheino Kaful Tanai Dibnei Gad Bnei Reuven Eino Tanai. The Mimir says a condition. You want to make a condition with somebody, you got to say both sides of the condition. If you do this, then that will happen. And if you don't do this, the other. Just like we learned by when Moshe Rabbeinu made it Tanai, call that Tanai Kaful. A double Tanai, both sides by Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. If you go in and fight, then you'll be vanguards, then you'll inherit the land. But if you don't, then you're not going to inherit the land. Now, why would you have to say both sides? Just say, if you go in as vanguards, you'll get the land. Implying what? If you don't, you won't. And the Bimir says, no, that's mandatory. So you see, the Bimir doesn't go with implications. You got to go bare terush. But Amishtar says he goes with implications. Give us, you know what? Ipuch. Switch it around. Make the Bimir the one that doesn't go with implications. And make Rabbanan go with implications. Switch the Mishnah. Ipuch. So Give us, says, get that to be hard. When Yitzchak came from Babel or to Babel from Israel, Tana Kiditnan, he didn't make any ipuchs. He learned Al Mishnah, like Al Mishnah says, the Bimir goes with implications. Amar of Yosef, Hashtab Danan Tenanache. Now that we have Al Mishnah, like we have it, Vichi Atan Yitzchak Tenanache, and when Yitzchak came, he also had it, like we have it. Shma mina davka tanan. Must be that the text is correct. And the Bimir really is the one that goes with implications. Oh, Ela Akasha. Akasha. Because we see the Bimir by tonight God, but then he says that tonight's got to be reversed. Why is it got to be reversed? Why don't you just go with the implication? He says, Kiletle Bimamona. However, about the Isuda, Itle. The difference. When does the Bimir say you got to say both sides? On a monetary case. B'nei Gad v'nei Reuven, that's monetary. You're going to get the land, you're not going to get the land. Then you got to speak out both sides. But in the case of Isur, like the case of Shivua Ta'idut, for them it's Isur. We have to make a Shivua. For false swearing, not false swearing. So for that, it's got to be, even an implication is enough. When it comes to Isur situations, then already you don't got to say the other side. Now, Shaken, when you come into Mamon situation, you gotta say the other side. That is the truth. And we have a rule. Isuram Mamunah lo yafinan. Just because we say that one law by Mamon doesn't mean it applies to Isur. Isur and Mamon can have two different laws, because they're different, because Mamon is more kal than Isur. And therefore, let's say a kula that applies to Mamon doesn't necessarily hold to Isur. Now, even though when it came to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, we learned that that you cannot mehayev your friend money. It's a kula. I don't have to pay the money until you give it to me both ways, until you reverse it on both sides. Then the transaction is not hal. Mashiachim by Isur, even if you didn't give it both ways, the Isur is done. By Mamon, I'm mekil, not to take money away from somebody unless it's said both ways. But just because I'm mekil by money doesn't mean I'm going to mekil by Isur. By Isur, even if you said one way, I get you on the implication the other way. And therefore, Amish not so much Shivua to do, which is Isur. Isur Shivua, therefore the Bimir will hold that you don't go with, you do go with implications. That's why he says, well, you're blessed if you know the testimony. That means you're cursed if you don't. And that's what it is. It doesn't work, Rabbi. Why? That is Sota. Isurahu. Sotah is a suit case, right? The lady forbidden to husband, or she's permissible to husband, and she's sued. And what? Lamar Rabbi Tanchum bar Hachina, hina ki ketiv. If you look in the pasuk, when the Kohen tells the lady, hina ki, that if you're innocent and you drink the water, nothing's going to happen. Hina ki, but the word hina ki should be spelled he yud nun kuf yud. Hina ki with a yud, but the yud is missing. Why? Says hinaki ketiv, as if the pasuk is saying hinki. Hinki means if you're guilty, you're gonna choke from the waters. Now, according to Rabbi Meir's rule, that you told me by isur, you don't need to have explicit. You can go with the implication. So the Torah could have just said hinaki, you will be clean, implying that if you're not innocent, you will. Something bad will happen to you. What, you'll die. So why does the Torah have to come along and say it explicitly? Skip a yud so you can donation hinki. If you go with implications, if you tell me you go with implications by isur, sota is isur. And therefore, why do you got? So therefore, why just say hinaki? Write it the regular way, and I'll apply. And if you're guilty, you know hinaki. You're gonna die. Elawaf, the fact that Torah has to put the Mr. Yud there, so you read it Hinaki, and you also read it Hinki, so therefore as if it's written Beferush. So you see, even by Isud, you gotta write both sides. You would have been here to say that by Isud, you don't have to go both sides. Well, Hinaki obviously means that you live. Hinaki, clean what? You walk away clean.
Walk away clean, die is the difference.
Well, it's the opposite. It's walking away. You're not gonna walk away. Might not know Hanki.
What's the question anyway?
If it's
not that
the name that you said it. Anyway, it's all you want is over here. It's Torah says. Torah says Hanki. Torah says, Ta'amam. Ask the question. Ta'amam, Dichtiv, Hinaki. Hadabaki, without saying Hinaki. If you didn't say Hanki like that, Michlal, Lama, Tashameh, Lo Aminan. You wouldn't make the implication. But you don't, because it's a Beferush. Even if it's Isur. I thought you just said by Isun, you go with the implication, you go with the flip. And here you're telling me why by Sotah, if it didn't say Beferush, you wouldn't go to your flip side. See what I says, Ela Ipuch. Back to the Ipuch. Afilu bi Isura Letle. Okay, let's see where all we now. Make the Ipuch. And really to be mean, he doesn't hold of implications. Bichlam. Bring on the Ipuch. Not in the case of Shivuah. Not in the case of Mamon. Not in the case of Isur. He don't hold of implications. Anyway, right? We'll get to Hakamim in a second. Okay, so then we'll make the Ipuch. Now wait. Before you go further, we have to read the Nashim. Very important Nashim. Bares Sotah de Isura. There's a question on the Bimir before we made the Ipuch. We want to say really the Bimir is Chalukas between Mamon and Isur. By Mamon, you got to be explicit, and by Isur, we said you can imply. Oh, I'll say now, very good. So by Mamon, we said you got to be explicit, Thnaigad bin Eruven, and by Isur, like we said in the Mishnah, which would be like a Shivua case, you can even go on the flip side, you can go with the implication. Look at that sheet. והרי סוטה דאיסורה ופרחינן מיני לרבי מאיר דתם ובסקדושין בדכתיב אם לא סטית הנקי ופשיט הלן דלא צריך כלום לברך את הסוטות ולא נאמר אלא לשמוע לב מכלל הן כללם מכלל ברכה אם סטית לא תנקי אלמה לא בעינם כפרה ומשנין רבי תנחום הנקי כתיב ולא יוד כמו חנקי וכי הקרא דבטא דכתיב עד כי סטית למשמע הכי חנקי ממים ומעלילים. Good. Like we said, that one, if we wouldn't have said Hanki, like it's written without a yud, we would not have made the application. Look at Nashi. Nashi says nothing. Okay, good. Ela Ipuk. So let's see what we're holding now. So make the Ipuk, so therefore, according to the BBE, you never go with implications. Not by Shivu'at Aidut, not by Sotah, not by Tanaik Benegar of Nere Uven. And the rabbis are going to say, you do go with an implication. You do go with an implication by Isud. You're going to go with an implication by Shivuat Ha'edut, because that's the case of the Mishnah. You'll go to an implication over there. Okay, we're going to have to see exactly how the rabbis go, because it's not going to be so simple. But we're not finished. Finish the Gemara first. Gemara says, Matkifa Ravina. Oh, so you're telling me that according to the Bimeir, he don't go with implications. What are you talking about? He doesn't know the implications by Yisur. And the Me'ata, and so a Kohen goes and serves the Beit HaMikdash drunk. He drinks wine. He didn't take a haircut. His hair is long. We know the punishment is what? He gets death penalty. He doesn't get that punishment. That's just what the following people get. How do you know, by the way, that these people get mitah b'nei shamayim? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that these guys get b'nei shamayim. It says the opposite. It says yain v'shechar al tesht velo yamutu, implying that what if they go in with wine, they are going to die. And everybody agrees with the statement. So you have a case of Isur, and you see he's going with implication by Isur. So you just told me Rabbi Meir never goes with implication, not by Isur, not by Mammon, Ipuch to Mishnah. You see, you have an Isur case over here, and he goes with the implication. Because the Torah says, don't drink wine so you won't die. Implying what if you drink wine? You are going to die. That's an implication. And Rabbi Meir has to agree with it. So now we're stuck. So what says, Ela, go reverse back. Neolam, Tipuch. Go back to the Tipuch. Which means, go back and Tipuch. And then for what? Really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Meir holds, you don't need an implication. Okay? You don't need an implication. You don't need an implication. Now, we have to make a haluk, but by money, you do. Really, I'll make the haluk to mamon and isur. By mamon cases, like by, what do you call it? By b'nei gadim and uven, you got to give both sides. By isur case, like shivua ta'idut, which to the witnesses, it's a shivua isur. Even though they're testifying on a monetary situation, but the monetary doesn't affect them. To them, it's all Isur, whether it's a Shivua chicken or not. So on Isur cases, Rabbi Meir will say, you don't have to go the reverse side. Oh, Vishani Sota. Sota's different. The Isura di'it b'mamunahu, like you said. Sota, we said what? Sota, you gotta give both sides. Why do you got to give both sides? Because sota is a type of item that what? That has mamon ramifications. Because if she's guilty, she loses a ketubah. If she's not guilty, she doesn't lose a ketubah. So now let's review the shita, the way we're saying according to the B Meir. Really, the Gemara says tipuch. Tipuch is what? That what you have to... we're not going to say no, tipuch, switch it, which means really you need to say both sides. Really, you need to say both sides. What did our Mishnah say? No, le'olam tipuch. Let's review. What did the Mishnah say without the tipuch? Our Mishnah said all you got to do is say the positive side, and we'll learn the negative. Right? Now we're saying no, that Rabbi Meir is in the Boter, because really by Isur you gotta say both sides. You gotta give the reverse side. We didn't give the reverse side. You just said you should be blessed if you have the testimony, implying what? You should be cursed if not. Rabbi Meir will say it's patur in this case, because why? You don't say Michlal hein ata shomeya la and neolam tipuch, and therefore. When is that? That's only talking about kiletle mamona. However, be isura itle. But by isur, he's going to hold what? That you go with implication. And that's why, by the case of yayin, by the Kohen, the Torah says, don't drink wine so you won't die. will make the implication if you do drink wine, you will die. By Isur, you make the implications. By Isur, you make the implications. Right?
Why should
we put in the Mishnah?
Right.
Go slow. And Sota is different because Sota is money. Okay, but this is not clear yet. Let's go read over here. כאן חוזרת הגמרא איפה מהנהחתה למה שותדו תשבת עניין של איסור. Ah, because I'm going to tell you that שבועת העדות is also considered monetary. You have to change that assumption. Because bottom line, they're swearing on something that has to do with money. So therefore, by money, you don't go with implications. That answers why tonight we got Bnei Reuven. That's why you need to say both sides. That's why in Amishnai says patur, because it's monetary. You know it's a shivu'ah, but they're swearing on money for somebody. Therefore, you have to say both sides. That's why
by sota.
If it wasn't for the fact that it's left out the letter yud to say henki, you would not make the implication, because that's also a monetary situation, because it leads to a ketubah. So again, the rule is by monetary items you need both sides. That would be by sota, that would be by shivat da'idut, that would be by tinegad b'neh reuven. Mashiach, in the case of a pure isur, don't drink wine so you don't die. That's a pure isur, implying what? That if you do drink wine, you will die. But then you don't need, you make implications. But that's a pure isur. In a pure isur, you can make the implication. But an isur that's attached to money, you won't make the implication. Good? That is an Rashi over here after read. So everything we negotiated correctly. Everything works out fine. Rashi just offers us another possibility, the way we could have negotiated this whole sugya. And then Rashi's going to tell us that that's not an option. Look at Rashi. Last Rashi of the Pirik. Shani sota disura diit bemamonahu. Giviyat ketuvata. Like you said right away. The collecting of the ketuvah. Because if she's innocent, she collects ketubah. If she doesn't, if she's guilty, she loses ketubah. So therefore, sota is a monetary case. That's why you got to give the. That's why if you didn't give me the beferush lacking the yud to say henki, you would not have made the implication. Good. And our Mishnah also shvat ha'edut is connected to money, because you only make the shvat ha'edut legabe mamon. That's also because of money. That's what the Bimir says. You patur unless you say both sides. Hilkach Bimir poter kede abchinan, like we switched. Now, here's the key. Ubelav ipuch, without switching the Mishnah, leka leterutza. You will be able to answer. Why? I can answer. Don't switch the Mishnah. So that means the Bimi is going to say Yahayav. But Shivata Edut, you go with implication. I could say, because he'll hold that Shivata Edut is considered Isur. And Isur, you go with implication, just like you go with implication by Shtuye Yayin. And the case of Mamon, which I'll tell you is the case of Sota, which is a Mamon situation. And I'll tell you the case of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, which means, why did you have to switch the Mishnah? I could just keep the Mishnah as is, and say the reason why the Bimei says Yechayav is because look at Shivat Ha'edut as pure Isur. What was right of that answer?
He says, because
then you have to make shivu'ah the Mishnah totally isur. Now, in that case, that means the rabbis are going to put it in the isur case. Because you have to make the same case in the rabbis. Who are you on the bimir? That means the chachamim are going to say you need an implication in the isur case. How the rabbis are going to answer to Yayin? The rabbi is going to be stuck with Shtuyayin, because Shtuyayin is a pure Isur case, and they make an implication. So you're stuck with that way. Therefore, the only way to answer Amish, that's why everybody fits in good, is making an Ipuch. Because without the Ipuch, the rabbi is going to be stuck by the Shtuyayin case. Because why? Because if you say the rabbi, if you don't make the Ipuch, I mean, if you say it outside, if you don't make the Ipuch, then what are you saying? What? Amish is going to be me and says, Yahya. Why? Because you go with implications. Why? Because it's a pure Isur case. And the Bimei says you don't go with implications only by money. Also, it's a pure Isur case. And what did the rabbi say in the Mishnah? Even by a pure Isur case, you need to make an implication. Even by a pure Isur case. Hey, rabbis, how are you going to learn the case of Shtuyayin going to the Beit HaMikdash? That's a pure Isur case. And you don't need an implication. Rabbis can argue on that, and therefore the only way to answer this case is through a ipuch. That's the final answer. Hadran alach shivuat ha'edut. That is the end of that perek. Now we move on to the fifth perek of Masechet Shavuot. We start with the Mishnah. Shavuot Pekadon. We learned about Shavuot Pekadon today. Shavuot Pekadon is a case over here where a person gave a Pekadon to his friend. Hey, where's my Pekadon? No, I gave it back to you already. You gave it back to me already. Well, I never took it. Right? Whatever he's saying. It's like a swear. It's called Shavuot Pekadon. Shavuot Pekadon applies to anybody. Shavuot Pekadon noheged ba'anashim u'banashim, men and ladies, ba'rchokim u'bakirubim. I don't care if they're related to the guy or you're not related to the guy. Because you're not a witness here. You're not a need of witness over here. You're swearing that you didn't take the collateral. I don't care if I'm related to the guy that I'm swearing to. B'keshirim u'bapesulim. Or whether the guy is a kasher or pasul. I don't care if he's kosher to be a witness or not to be a witness. B'fnei bedin v'shelo b'fnei bedin. Okay, whether he makes it in front of bedin shivua or not in front of bedin. Mepi atzmo or mepi achirim. Whether he made the shivua himself or others made him make the shivua. Enu hayav ad shichverenu b'bedin. Which means when the shivua is made by others, so then it's got to be done. He has to kofer dafka in bedin. Which means, according to Rabbi Meir, only when you make the Shavuot yourself, you'll be Hayav if you kofir outside the Bedin. But if you made the Shavuot through others, then you have to be kofir in the Bedin itself. I don't care if you made the Shavuot yourself, or the others made you make the Shavuot, even if you were kofir outside the Bedin, according to Rachamim, you're going to be Hayav. Okay. Let's continue. Hayav azadon Shavuot. A person makes the shivua bezadon on purpose, he's going to be hayab. Va'al shigigata im zedon apikadon. Which means, shigigata is that he has a shogeg that he didn't know that you're hayab a korban in this case if you would make a shivua, but he knows he's lying. So he's a shogeg on the knowledge of the extent of the isur, but at the time he knows that he's lying. That's called shigigat. Shivua im zedon pikadon is going to be hayav. Ve'enu hayav ashigigata gedadata. But if it's a sheikh shogeg gamur, where he really thinks that he never took the collateral, or that he gave back the collateral, that's a shogeg gamur, he's not going to be hayav a korban. Uma hayav azedon. If a guy does this on purpose, what korban does he have to bring? Asham bekesef shekalim. He has to bring a korban asham that's worth 2 shekalim of kesef. He swore on purpose, knowing that he owes the pekadon. He swore that he doesn't know it. You know everything. It's bezadon. It'd be hayav in that case also, by the way. You're right. It'd be hayav in that case also. Not only knows everything, he knows the extent of the korban, and he knows that he's lying. Even the case where he knows he's lying and he doesn't realize the extent, he's hayav, hayav also. The only time he's going to be patur is when he's totally a shogeg, where he really thinks that he's not lying. Good? Okay, let's read Rashi after this point over here. Shivuat pekadon ba'anashim u'ba'anashim. Applies to men and ladies. Aidi detana b'shot ha'adim ba'anashim u'ba'anashim tanenu kuna meichol. This is a Mishnah. It's following the style of the last Mishnah.
Right.
Since we told the Shivuat ha'etut, it applies to men, it doesn't apply to ladies, relatives, So once we gave that Mishnah, we're giving this Mishnah also. B'kirubim, shivuat pekadon karob hazeh shepekadon etzto. Exactly, which means, I don't care if the guy who owns the pekadon is related to the guy who we gave it to. Big deal. We're not using him as a witness over here. If the guy swore himself, or he answered amen, which is considered like he said it himself, he's hayav korban. Good. Or in a case where he didn't answer amen, you swear that you were on the pekadon? Yes. Now that's not like me saying the shivua, that's like you making the shivua on me, because if I don't answer amen, it's not like I said it myself. That's the piyachadim. You tell me, you swear? I said, yes, I swear. Oh, yes, I do. Now, if I would have said amen, it's like I swore. If I said, yes, I swear, that's I swear. So, achadim means I didn't say amen. You swear that you returned my pekadon? I don't have it. He's got to deny that in bedin. Which means, why according to Rabbi Meir, that's a very important point, why according to Rabbi Meir does he hold that if I didn't swear myself, that I have to deny it in Bedin to be Hayab? Because by Shivuat Pekadon, it doesn't say anywhere about me being Hayab if I did not swear. How do I know if I did not swear I'm going to be Hayab? I learned it from Shivuat Ta'inut. And we know Shivuat Ta'inut, you only Hayab if you kofir in Bedin. So therefore, we learn from there, and then we apply the laws of there. Gamrina mine umine. Remember that? We learn, again, by Shivuat Pekadon, and the Torah only says if he swore himself. How do I know if even the swear was put on him? Because it's not Shavah from Shivuat Ta'idu. And by Shivuat Ta'idu, we know it only applies in Bedin. So apply that law. Shivuat Ta'idu also not the Shivuat Ta'idu, because it's only in Bedin. So I learn from there, and then I apply the laws from where I'm learning from to Shivuat Ta'idu as well. Okay, that's a bimeir. Hakamim omrim, dun mineh b'uki batra. Hakamim say, no. You learn the law of what? That even if the Shiva was put on you, you know, Peshwat Da'adut. But once I learned Peshwat Da'adut, now go back to Pekadon and apply its own laws. And its own laws, even if you kofir outside of Bedin. That's Don Mine Be'uki Be'atra. Anyway, now the Gemara says, by the way, case of Shekalim, she says, the Korban Asham that you're bringing has to be worth at least 2 Shekalim. Yeah, they learned it from the Pesukim. Okay, now the Mishnah goes on to say, Shvata Pekadon Ketzah. What's the case? Give me a case of Shvata Pekadon. Amalo, ten li Pekadoni, shesh li be'adecha. Give me my Pekadon back. Give me the collateral that I gave you. Shivua she'en lecha be'adi. I don't have it. O shamalo, en lecha be'adi. Or he says, I don't have it. And the other guy says, Mashbi'acha ani, I make you swear, ve'amar amen. And he says, Amen, Hare Ze Hayav. Good. Simple case. Hishbiya Alav Hamesh Pa'amim. He made him swear 5 times. I swear I don't have it. Ben Bifne Bedin, Ben Shil Bifne Bedin. Even outside of Bedin. Guy swore 5 times, I swear I don't have the item. The Kafar, and then the guy's kofir at the end of the day. I'm telling you, swore 5 times, you have it, swore, it's kofir. Hayav Akol Ahad Bahad. Hayav 5 times. Why? Amar Bishwa Matam. What's the reason why it's Hayav 5 times? Because after each swear, the guy can confess. Which means, swear that you don't have the pekadon. I swear. At that point, if he wants, he can come along and say, no, I have the, I was lying. Why? Look at that sheet. Reshachol asur hodot. Achal kefira. Nimsa shebechos shahu kuflo mamon. Now, why can he confess after each time? Of course he confesses after each time. And since he can confess after each time, even though he didn't confess, every Shavua is considered a new Shavua, as opposed to the case of Shavua Ta'idut. By Shavua Ta'idut, the case we just had, once the guy testifies in Bid Din, and he says, what? I don't know testimony. That's a testimony now. And once you say a testimony, you cannot recant your testimony. Therefore, the next Shavua that you make means nothing. Because over there, it's in the end of a testimony. A testimony, you're locked into it. I'm not giving a testimony. I swear I don't have your pekadon. At that point, if he wanted, we could have came on and said, I'm sorry, I have it. So then, and then he swears again. So that's another kofir. So therefore, 5 times can be ayab, yes? Ayu hamisha tuf'imoto. Listen to this case. 5 different guys are claiming him. Amru lo, ten nanu pekadon, chiyesh tanu biyadecha. They all say together, give us our pekadon back. Each guy's got a different claim against him. 5 claims. Shivua she'en lachem biyadi. He says, I swear I don't got anything. He makes 1 shivua. Enu hayav ela achat. He's only hayav 1. Because he put all 5 in 1 shivua. However, shivua en lecha biyadi, velo lecha, hayav. But if hayav akol achat, but if he comes over there, lo lecha, hayav each one, because he designated each one. Rabbi Elazar omer, ad shivua shivua b'acharona. He's got to say the word shivua b'acharona, which means you're not hayav a separate korban until he says en lecha biyadi, lo lecha b'shivua. He's got to say the word shivua at the end. Then it's considered a kefira for each one, and therefore it's considered separate. If he didn't say the word shivua, you have to say it in the beginning, and you have to say it at the end.
Is he saying the first one only holds at the beginning?
Right. So therefore, the Shivua then goes on all the other ones. Now the other rabbi said, "Shivua no mer ad shivar shivua lechol echad ve'echad." He's got to say, "Shivua she'en lecha biyadi, shivua she'en lecha biyadi." So according to the first rabbi, this rabbi holds shivua in the beginning and shivua in the end. According to the last rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, he says shivua in the chabiyadi, shivua in the chabiyadi. Say the word shivua for each one.
Okay.
Comes to Mishnah and continues. The guy tells his friend, "Tenli pikadon, give me my pikadon back, my collateral. Utzomet yad." He throws in there also the loan that I gave. You pay me back my loan. Utzomet yad is a loan. Gezel, the item you stole from me, va'aveda, and my lost object that you found. He's putting the whole all the dinim in there. Just give me the cup. Shivua she'en lecha biyadi. I don't have anything. One shivua. Enu hayav ela achat. He only hayav one. And of course, he was lying in the end. He's only hayav one. However, shivua she'en lecha biyadi pekadon utzumet yad ve'gazel va'aveda. But if he delineates each one, Hayav kol achad ve'achad, because he was kofer on each one. Okay, next one. Ten li chitin usurin v'kusmin sheshti v'yadelka. Hey, I want the wheat, I want the barley, and I want the spelt that you have. Shivua she'en lecha biyadi. I don't have anything. Enu hayav ela achad. Shivua she'en lecha biyadi. Chitin usurin v'kusmin. Hayav kol achad ve'achad. Okay, delineate is hayav each one. V'bimir omer afidu amar chita usura v'kusemet. Even if the guy said, he said it in singular term. Give me the wheat in singular term. Chita, sura, v'kusemet. And the guy answered back, I don't have chita, sura, v'kusemet. Hayav akol achat ba'achat. What's the tradition in that case over there? Look at Rashi. Look at it before it gets white. Afidu man chita, sura, v'kusemet. Gemara mefresh lah. Okay. I don't have a problem to wait. Yeah, because bottom line, you can start arguing because it's in chita, or it was one kernel of wheat. Sheve peruta, one kernel of wheat. So it could be that's not considered a shivua bichla, because it's only claiming on one kernel, and if his denial is not a denial, because it's less than a kernel, that's the Gemara's going to go into that. He says it doesn't matter. Even if you didn't say chitin, se'olin, and kusmin, it's still considered a shivua. And if he denies it, he's going to be hayab. Okay, let's go to the next case. Anasti. Not Anasti, Anasta. That's rape. Upitita. That's seduction. It be tea. Therefore, you gotta pay me. What do you gotta pay him? 50 shekel kesef. Besides all the sa'ar and all the bullshit and all the pagams. If a guy rapes a person's daughter, he's gotta pay the father 50 shekel kesef. Besides, again, the other monetary payments that he has to pay for the damages. Yes? Who omer? The guy answers back, lo anasti velo petiti. Okay, next case. Majbi'a ghani, make you swear that you didn't. V'amar amen. Here's amen, I didn't do it. Then he comes along and says, I did do it. Hayav. He has to bring a korban asham because he swore falsely. Special law. When you deny a knas case, you have to bring a korban asham. It's called asham gezelot. Except what I'm telling you. When you deny a case that you were obligated to make knas, and you made a shivat shaker on, you bring asham gezelot, it's called. So this guy denied that he owes knas. So therefore he brings asham chayav. This is one poter. She'enu mishalem knas al pi atzmo. Which is, if the guy would have been modeh, could have been patur, and therefore his kefira would make him patur as well. On kras. Only be hayav witnesses would have came. Witnesses would have came, then already he would bring in a korban asham. Because you only hayav a knas where, let's say, the witnesses would come. But if this guy was kofir on the knas, since if he would have admitted he could have been patur, so therefore, such a knas does not mandate a korban asham gezelot. Only if, let's say, the guy was kofir on the knas, and then witnesses came along and said, "Hey, you're hayav the knas," then already you'd be hayav. But just on his own, being kofir, and then say, "Oh, I did it," Mudeh b'knas b'patur. So then we don't have to make a korban on that case over there. Amnu lo, they tell Rabbi Shimon, af a pishon mishalem knas api atzmo. You're right. Even though you don't pay knas api atzmo, we know that mishalem boshet upegam api atzmo. Forget about the knas. There's other payments over here. There's pay. Even if it was mudeh, I did it. He still has to compensate the father for the embarrassment that he gave the family, for the pigam that he gave the family, and therefore there are other obligations. And therefore, since by saying lo anasti velo petiti, he's kofir in the monetary part of it. And therefore, that's what he has to do. Even if you want to take the knas off the table, the guy was still kofir in the monetary payment. In the case where a guy rapes a girl, aside the 50 shekel knas, you have to pay reparations. So the rabbis tell me, Shimon, you tell me, oh, the knas, you could have got out of it. Forget about the knas. There's money over here. So he's denying it, is denying money. And therefore he's giving Hashem Yizot for swearing on denying of the money. Okay, let's case of the Mishnah. Ganavta et shuri. Guy comes along, tells his friend, you stole my ox. Therefore you owe me double. Ganav is double, right? V'u me lo ganavta, because I didn't steal it. V'shbi achani, swear. V'amar amen. Then he comes along and says, yeah, I did it. Hayav. What does Hayav to pay? He has to pay back the ox, and he has to pay 20%, Kedin v'chomish, because when you swear falsely on a monetary case, you have to pay principal plus 20%, and you have to be a korban, asham. Because he keeps kofed. He keeps kofed on money. Kedin is the money. I don't know, I didn't steal your ox. Now, ganavti, aval lo tabachti velo macharti. Okay, now watch. Guy had another claim. You stole it, and you sold it, and you slaughtered it. Now he's telling you, you owe me four times. Right? Besides the ox, you owe me a knas for not only stealing it, but for slaughtering it or selling it. What did the guy answer? Lo tabah. He says, I stole it. He admits, I did steal it. But lo tabah, I didn't do the other stuff. And I'm not obligating myself four or five. Mashbi achani, you swear? The amar, I mean, then he admitted. Patur, he does not have to be korban asham. Since the arba v'chamisha is knas, and since he only brings the knas al pi hoda'at atzmo, right? I'm sorry. If he was modeh, he would not have to bring the knas because modeh b'knas is patur. And since if he would have been modeh, then would have been patur. He does not bring a korban in this case. Why? Because he admitted on the principle. Again, you stole. I stole, by the way. But I didn't do the other stuff you're telling me. And then what happens at the end of the day, he's kofir. He's more days. By the way, I did slaughter him. I did all that stuff. So he doesn't have to bring a korban asham in this case. Because on the principle, he admitted from the beginning. When the guy told him, you stole, I did steal. He didn't swear falsely on the principle. He swore falsely on the knas. He said, I didn't steal, and I'm sorry, I didn't slaughter, and I didn't... And I didn't sell. So he's swearing falsely on the knas. And then he admitted, I did it. Since it's on the knas, he swore falsely, and since he could have gotten off the knas by being modeh, so therefore, there's no korban asham, and there's no 20% on a false swear relating to the knas. Okay? Next case. Emit shurcha churi. Your ox killed my ox. You owe me damages. Hu omer lo emit. It didn't happen. You swear? Amar amen. Hayav. Because why? That's a monetary. He denied owing money with a swear. He has to pay back the money, 20%, and korban asham. Now, your ox killed my slave. Now, by killing the slave, he has to pay a knas of 30 kesef. When an ox kills somebody's slave, there's a knas of 30 kesef. So far, so good? He said he didn't do it. And then he says, "Mashbiachani, you swear, v'amar amen, patur." Why? Because that's knas. And therefore, he swore falsely on a knas. There's no get the rule. The only time you pay keren v'chomesh v'asham principal plus 20% when asham is when you swore falsely on a monetary situation, but not on a knas. Okay, amar lo. Guy tells his friend, we're going to go to all these cases in the Gemara, but we're going one at a time. Habalta bi va'asita bi habura. You beat me up, you hit me, you gave me a blemish. You owe me five payments. You owe me nezek, tzar, shevet, nipui, bush, the five payments of the Torah, you owe me. That's money. והוא אומר, לא חבלתי ולא עשיתי בכלל, I did nothing. משמיע חני, ואמר אמן, חייב. Since you swore falsely on the monetary, you have to pay all the payments, plus 20%, plus קורבן אשם. אמר לו עבדו, let's say the Eved Kanani tells the owner, the Eved Kanani tells his master, Hipalta et chini, you knocked out my tooth. Vesimita et chini, or you blinded one of my eyes out. Now what's the law? Torah punishes him in that case and says, you took out one of his tooth, Kanas, you got to set him out free. So the law is like this. The owner says, what are you talking? Lo hipalti velo simiti, I didn't do anything. Mashbiachani, v'amar amen, patur. Because that's Kanas. Fact that when he knocked his tooth out, you send out the guy free, that's knas. Swear, again, get the rule. Swearing falsely on a knas case does not pay keren v'chomesh v'asham. Now, he has to let his eved out free. He has to let his eved out free. They're not hard. He admitted he's lying. But you don't bring a korban asham, nor do you get a penalty of the extra chomesh for the false swear. The Mishnah gives you the rule. Kol ha-mishalem al-pi atzmo hayav. Any type of payment that you would pay on your own, meaning on your own admission, then you hayav if you swore falsely on it. However, kol she'en mishalem al-pi atzmo patur. But if you would be exempt if you would have admitted it, for example, a knas, so then if you swore falsely on it, you don't bring a korban. The Gemara is going to have to tell us why you need all these cases. Basically, it's the same rule. That on a case where if you would admit on your own, I admit I did it, pay. So if you swore falsely on it, you have to make a korban asham and a chomesh. Mashiach, if I would admit on a knas mi patur. So swearing falsely on it, you don't bring a asham and a chomesh. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.